So the scripture, as I said previously, is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 21. I encourage you to read along in the pew hymnal. I'll be reading from the same version. When someone finds it, please give me the page number. Okay, 441. And the reason I ask you to follow along like that is because it'll be reinforced as you hear it and as you see it. It will stick with you longer. Today's message is entitled Providential Prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in the first verse. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, with some of the Mennonites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in En-Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us.' But now, here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness, as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious Father, we thank you for your holy, inspired word. Inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purpose for which you send it out and not returning to you void. Lord, may God the Holy Spirit be upon us now, that we would hear and see what you desire to reveal. And I pray that you not let this preacher get in your way. Let it be your message, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. D.L. Moody said, we ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. And how do you see the face of God? In your prayer time. Prayer is a popular subject. There's been a lot of books written about it. It's a big section. You go to a bookstore. Many pastors preached about prayer. And pastors are always telling us that we should pray more, right? It seems that praying should be easy. But even Jesus' disciples said to the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And we pray that prayer every week, as we just did a little bit ago, the Lord's Prayer. But it also serves as a model for other prayers. Stanley Horowitz wrote, I confess, dear God, that the most difficult problem I have when I pray is how to begin. Any of you deal with that, right? He says, what do we do when we call on God? You have graciously given us your name, but I am who I am is, if you don't mind me saying so, Lord, kind of vague. That name, if it is a name, invited us to address you by piling one big adjective on top of another big adjective. Most holy, most gracious, awesome, omnipotent. Those adjectives give us the impression, when everything is said and done, that you are the biggest thing around. But the biggest thing around will not fit in a manger. So I pray, we pray, that you will send your Spirit to us to give us fresh tongues, so that when we pray, we will not be praying to our idea of you, but to you. How odd is it that you have made us praying animals, though through your gift of prayer? So thank you, gracious Lord, for receiving our stuttering prayers. Transform them and us into your prayer for the world. Well, as we look at King Jehoshaphat's prayer, do not forget that he and his officials have been instructing the people from the book of God's law for several years. Remember, until the fear of the Lord was upon even those nations around. A fast has been proclaimed and the people are gathered in God's holy presence in the temple courtyard. The people are there to worship and to inquire of God. They had questions for God. You have any questions for God? I keep a list. Every day. I keep a list that will only be answered in heaven. So, what are they to do in these dire circumstances? They have this vast army coming against them. And we find King Jehoshaphat's prayer. It started in the sixth verse. Now, there are different kinds of praying. And we have several types of praying that happen in here. This idea of resolving to inquire of God is seeking God's guidance, right? And we know that God, the Holy Spirit, gives us discernment. And our prayer should be to know God's will. Lord, what is it that you want us to do in this particular circumstance? What am I to learn and experience in these circumstances? Another form of the prayer is seeking help, right? That's when we're most likely to pray. You've heard of foxhole prayers, right? When the soldiers in the middle of battle and in the foxhole, they are praying big time, even the atheists, all right? One of the easiest prayers to learn, I'm going to teach it to you in 2 seconds. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I don't think you need to write that down. Then there's also prayer that seeks God himself. And that's also what's happening here in this prayer. Seeking God himself, being in the presence of God, being in that intimate relationship, right? Knowing in scriptures often about intimacy, not just head knowledge, relationship knowledge, intimacy. Then there's crying out to God. It's okay to cry out to God, to express yourself. He already knows what's on your heart. So it's okay. Lord, I don't understand why you did this. I'm angry, Lord. I'm brokenhearted. Lord, what are we going to do in these circumstances, right? The Psalms, if you read the Psalms, there's 150 of them. If you read five every day, you'll read the book of Psalms every month, right? But you're big on the math. Yeah. Okay, 150, there you go. So the Psalms, God's word, which we're encouraged to pray back to God, are just filled with people crying out to God, emptying their hearts before God, crying out to God. And then there's worshipful prayer, right? Giving God his due, praising in the loud voice, singing praises to God. Now, there are different elements of prayer, things that happen in different structured prayers, right? The Lord's Prayer is a model. And if you wrote down the Lord's Prayer and you held it up against Jehoshaphat's prayer, you'll see there's many similar things, right? Our Father, he says, are you not the God of our fathers, right? He says, who are in heaven, right? That's the God of heaven. We say that, our Father who art in heaven. So there's a lot of similarities, and you can see that throughout Jehoshaphat's prayer. Adoration, right? Lord, we love you. We trust you. We know you are a great God. There's no God like you. So adoration is one part of prayer. Then here, and this is something that we need to do more often, Jehoshaphat remembers what God has done in the past. Remembering is important. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Ebenezer, the stone of help, and how it was constructed to help the people remember what God had done. Remembering is important because it strengthens our faith. It reminds us that we've been through some stuff before and we're still here, right? God brought us through it. Also, remembering what God has done gives us hope for the future, for what God will do. God has made us many promises. They're based on what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. So remembering what God has done is important. Then having confidence in God. Lord, we know that you are the one who's in control. Sovereign is the word we use, right? Now, we're all pretty good at the petitioning part. You know, that petitioning prayer, we're really good. Like, dear God, okay, here, let's get into what I need. We have this long list, and then it's like, thank you, Lord, right? We're very good at petitioning, and there's nothing wrong with bringing our petitions before the Lord. He wants us to do that, right? But not by themselves. They are definitely be part of our prayer, but not the lion's share of our prayer. Covenanting with God, right? We saw that in verse 9 and verse 20. The people had built a temple for God's presence so they could experience God in a very personal way. And they promised that, Lord, we are always going to come to you in our times of need. And then their part of the covenant is when the Lord sent them out to do this battle, they were obedient. And then there's a part of the prayer of placing trust and faith in God, depending on God. Our eyes should be on God, right? We learned that last week. Where are we standing and looking? We're looking to God, standing in your presence. Lord, we're looking to you to see what you will do. This scripture reveals who is the God of Israel. It reveals the God in whom Jehoshaphat and the people place their faith. This is the God that they pray to, and it should be the God that we pray to, the God of Scripture. Not some New Age God, not some Oprah Winfrey God, not some God that you've made up in your own mind, but the God of the Bible, right? If you're not praying to the God of the Bible, then you're praying to an idol. So God's attributes were addressed in the scripture. God of our fathers. Now, I could give you many verses to support all these different ways that God is treated in this particular scripture, but I promised myself I'll only do one verse for one. So God of our fathers, Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, recounting what happened at the burning bush with Moses at the burning bush, he says, God is speaking. He says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our spiritual, those are our spiritual fathers, which we've talked about before. And Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. The God who is in heaven, Deuteronomy 4, verse 39, acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God, God in heaven, above and on the earth below. There is no other, no other. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. We just read that, remember? Daniel 4:17. The decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them, listen closely, and he sets over them the lowliest of men. You want to know why our government's in trouble? It says right here, God sets over them the lowliest of men. Now, there's a lot in that. We'll talk about that another time. Power and might are in your hand, God. Jeremiah 27:5. With my great power and outstretched arm, I made the earth, God speaking, and it is its people and the animals are on it, and I give it to anyone I please. God is in sovereign control. Abraham, your friend. God claimed Abraham as his friend in Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend. And Jesus called his disciples his friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. Wonderful hymn, right? Are you a friend of Jesus? Amen. Lord, you will hear us and save us. Many scriptures on this. Psalm 34:17. The righteous cry out and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. Will you not judge them? Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire, right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Our God is love, but he is also a righteous judge. The spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, right? Well, in John 3, verse 34, for the one whom God has sent, Jesus, speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. God gives the Spirit without limit in this New Testament time that we live. God, the Holy Spirit, is available to us in whatever manifestation that we need, right? It's not like in the Old Testament time. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in every believer. We are the temple of God. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of God? The Lord says to you in our Second Chronicles scripture, do not be afraid or discouraged. But Jesus also tells us many times not to be afraid. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The battle is not yours, but God's, right? That's what Jehoshaphat told us here. It's not yours, but it's God's. So we were to continue in that scripture reading, I'll just give you a few verses of what happens when the people obeyed and they went out to confront and stand fast before the enemy. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. The Lord caused these invading armies to turn upon one another, and Israel did not need to fight the battle but needed to witness the battle that God won. Exodus 15:3, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. You ever think of God as a warrior? Well, when you're in trouble and you need to go to battle, don't you want a warrior on your side? The deliverance the Lord will give you. He will deliver you. 2 Samuel 22, verse 2. David said, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord be with you was in this scripture. And we always say in response to that, the Lord be with you and also with you. This is a common Christian greeting. And it's because we need to be reminded that the Lord is with us. Jehoshaphat talked about God's splendor here. Psalm 104, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. God is clothed with glory, majesty, splendor, holiness. We hear a lot about who God is, but the most defining thing of who God is holy. It's the defining characteristic. More important than any other characteristic of God is holy. And how do I know that? Because twice in scripture, he is described as holy, 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 right? Revelation 4:8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. No other attribute is used like this to describe God. Holy, holy, holy. His love endures forever. Now, we're running short of time. I was going to have you turn to Psalm 136 so that you could see that every single verse of Psalm 136 says, what does it say? It says, his love endures forever. Because it talks about God in every single verse says his love endures forever. Do not forget that. Now, yes, God is love, and his love is patient, right? Long suffering in another translation. It's his love is long suffering. God puts up with a lot. Yeah. I know he puts up with a lot for me. How about from you? Which has his hand up. You didn't need to raise your hand. I already knew it. Yes. Yes, we need to be honest with God, right? We know that we are not what we are called to be, but thankfully we are not what we were. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. And even though God is so loving, God is still to be feared. This concept of fearing God, which includes awe and reverence, is frequently stated in the scriptures. I'm only going to give you one verse, Proverbs 14, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. Right? You really have two choices, fearing God or dying, a permanent death. Fearing God is the fountain of life. All right. In the bulletin, there are reflection questions, and I invite you to take that home and work through those. I will just give you number 5 right now. Seeking God will transform your prayer life. What evidence is there that your prayer life is being transformed? Now, sometimes when I meet with people, I will ask them to pray. And I don't know because they feel uncomfortable praying in front of the pastor or what. But it's a little surprising that people struggle with praying. Praying should be natural to us. But like anything else,
You need to do it to become comfortable. And if you can't be comfortable with God, then you need to pray. Lord, help me. It's just our prayer life is talking to God and listening. Or much better, the talking part. But listening is part of that too. So I encourage you that you pray, and that you pray often, pray throughout the day, so that you are conscious that the Lord is with you. There's a hymn called Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such, I hasten to the place where God, my Savior, shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. 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 Let us pray. I'm going to pray this scriptural prayer for revival from Praying with Fire based on the scripture. Let's pray. Gracious Father, to the degree I seek you will be the degree I experience you. Send revival. I need you, and I seek you with all my strength and might. Let me be constantly aware of a world that opposes you and your people. Amidst all the challenges of the world, show me the importance of seeking you. Father, let me understand when fear rises in my heart, it is a call to seek you. Thank you for your promises, protection, and provision. Teach me dependency on you. In the face of adversity, teach me to seek you first and always. Drive me to my knees. Just as Jehoshaphat called a fast, Father, allow me to know when to fast individually and when to call a corporate fast. Father, I volunteer for your word to judge me. Show me myself in light of your word. Use your preacher, whomever you choose, to proclaim your word to me. Let meekness be my attitude so I can receive your word. Let me yield to your word. I ask your help. Lord, teach me to ask you for help, but do not let pride prevent me from allowing people to help me if you choose to work through them. Show me those things that distract me from you and allow me by faith to yield them to you. You are a mighty God. You are all powerful. You are sovereign. You are in control of everything. Thank you for your mighty acts on my behalf and on behalf of your people. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your deliverance. Oh Lord, teach me to fear you. Even in a disaster, let me seek you. Let me not forsake the church, the body of Christ. Let your church stand before you, just as Jehoshaphat did. Let us stand before you so we also can hear you and know your truth. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I yield myself to you. Keep me sensitive to your spirit for your glory, not mine. Increase my faith and understanding of your word. Amidst opposition and turmoil, let me be still so I can hear your voice. Teach me, Lord, what it means to position myself in you, and let me claim your promise. I bless your name. I praise you, Lord. I seek you. I bow before you, not just at church, but throughout the day. Let me bow before you, even in front of others, because you are my God. Let me worship you. Send revival and let it begin in me. In Jesus' name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.